The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Welcome back to another edition of the Federal Football Report, Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. Soon to come, by the way, the podcast one. All that stuff behind the scenes for podcast one is being worked out
right
now, even as we speak to you. And speaking of as we speak to you, the Redskins get their first win of the season, 1-5.
That's right.
Kevin Stanfield has a reason why that should bring you hope today for a playoff push. We'll get to more on that later.
I'm so excited. I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control. The one thing I like it.
You know, it's funny because, you know, we play around a lot and I listen to those lyrics. Those are really good lyrics.
Yeah.
That's a really good.
Yeah. Fitting. Very fitting.
Washington Redskins beat the Miami Dolphins in dramatic fashion, no
That's
less.
Right. That's right.
To go on to get to 1-6. We'll have more on the game. But so much has happened. I mean, it's interesting because we recorded this show for the first time in almost 3 weeks in studio together because
right.
we had all the travel and stuff happening. And we had to end up re-recording the first segment because when we recorded the show on Sunday night, Jay Gruden was then fired the next day.
That's
and we didn't
right.
want to sound irrelevant because the whole point of Federal Football Report is to bring you live, local, late-breaking news with the team.
Who's to say that our show didn't have something to do with it? I mean, exactly. They heard what we were recording. They said,
Mr.
You know,
Snyder heard and said, what?
No more.
If okay. Kevin believes that Gruden should be fired, we'll fire him. So Callahan comes out. And again, outside of a bye week, I can't think of a better time to make that sort of a change, whether it's a quarterback change, and maybe that's a hint for later on in the season.
Right.
Maybe it's a quarterback change or a coaching change. Either a bye week or a team that you're pretty sure you would have been able to beat even if the old coach was in. And that would qualify as if you look at the Miami Dolphins.
Now, the problem I had, though, was with the new regime coming in, they were going to get back to basics. And they had no hesitancy in saying that we want to run the ball more, mm-hmm. we want to establish the run. But the problem with that is you're telling the opposition what you want
exactly
to do.
Exactly what you want to you do, know? Yeah.
So
yeah.
What they come out putting 9 guys in the box. Case Keenum didn't have any time to throw early. But despite of all that, AP gained over 100 yards, right? Would have scored a touchdown, but got too excited on the goal line and thought about scoring before he had a hold of the ball and ended up with a bad exchange. But I was quite pleased.
Okay.
I was pleased because I saw things change. I saw the fact that if everything isn't clicking on your offense, that the running game can be a stabilizer. You know, I get so tired of hearing these people on the radio and on podcasts and on Twitter talking about the new NFL and people don't run the ball anymore. And you want to go back to the Joe Gibbs offense. Joe Gibbs, who won 3 Super Bowls, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Football is still the same game it was back in the days when they wore the leather helmets and stuff.
Because here's the thing. I don't think it matters how you score points. I think it matters that you score points.
It doesn't matter.
So whether you are running the ball, whether you're passing the ball, if you score at least one more point than your opponent, then you win the game.
That's how we did it this
just one more point than the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I don't understand this whole critique of Callahan and the Redskins and his commitment to the run. Here's the thing, though, about telling folks what you're going to do. I also don't have a problem with that if they can't stop you from doing
stuff. Right, that's true. That's true.
You know, because the truth be told, in 2 or 3 weeks, film will be out on the team. Film will be out on the offense under, Callahan regime. And teams will know what the Skins do. They'll know what their tendencies are. Because the truth, every team has an idea what their opponent's going to do because
there's so
much film out on players, on coaches, on teams. And so everyone lines up with an idea, a general idea of what the other team's going to do.
That's true.
And
that's
so
true.
Whether they know it or not doesn't matter to me. It's whether or not we can beat them with you knowing what's going to happen.
And it's a matter of attitude. Now, if you take a guy and line up and say, we're going to run the ball,
mm-hmm.
and you can't stop us,
right?
You know, that's demoralizing to the defense,
Well, and especially when the running game is your strong point, right? Like, no one will say that the Redskins' passing offense is the strong point of the team, right?
Not yet.
But the cool thing is, look, there's plenty to look at and see it as a negative against the Dolphins. You know, you beat the Dolphins by 1 point. You know, they go for a 2-point conversion, which was kind of odd because they had the momentum, it seemed to me, at the end of the game. So why wouldn't you tie it and go to overtime and give yourself a chance to win?
That's desperation right there.
But at the same time, it's like, you know what? If you know you're already, you know, tanking the season and not trying to win and you're the Dolphins, why wouldn't you go for two and say, hey, maybe we can get a win and get out of here, you know, and that's it. I understand that. But there's a few things that I draw as a positive from this game. Positive number one is, like you said, the commitment to the run.
How many
times, you can go back through the archives of the Federal Football Report, have we said 8 carries is not enough for Adrian Peterson? 11 carries is not enough for Adrian Peterson?
Absolutely
not. Not playing him in week one is not enough for Adrian Peterson. he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He was your team's MVP of the previous season.
He
should get the ball. And so they committed to the run. And I wish I would have prepared a little bit for this one statement, but I don't remember when the last time Adrian Peterson rushed for 100 yards as a Washington Redskin.
Yeah, it was probably that game against the Giants. Was that the Eagles that night when he had the one run for like 98 yards?
Right.
But no, there has not been that commitment. Also, there's always been that thing, and I mentioned this so many times. If AP doesn't get like 4 yards on his first carry, he was looking through the sidelines because he knew they were going to send Chris Thompson there, right? You know, it's like he gets three yards and it's considered a failure, right? You know, and that he couldn't really get into the flow of the game.
For this season against the Cowboys, 10 carries for 25 yards. Bears, 12 carries, 37 yards. Giants, 11 carries, 28 yards. Patriots, 7 carries, 18 yards. Oh, and look, Dolphins, he gets over 15 carries. So 23 carries, 118 yards.
Yeah. And I heard him on the post-game interview. He was a little upset because he felt he left a lot of yards on the field, right? Mm-hmm. He said after he goes back and looks at the film that he could have applied a couple of cuts cut in when he should have gone out or vice versa. And he felt like he could have been even more productive. And see, this is a beautiful thing. We have something to build on now. I mean, if this is going to be the character of this team, which they did not have a character up until this point, you didn't know what was going on until this point, you know, then so be it. You know, welcome back to the NFL.
Right.
Because we were in the twilight zone for so long, and I don't want to wish any harsh feelings on Mr. Gruden. I'm sure that wherever he is, that he's enjoying, I mean, you know, we got to sympathize with the man a little bit. It's kind of hard to walk around the streets with that much money in your pocket, right? You know, you can develop back problems, right? You know, it's bad for your posture to have $9 million in your wallet,
man,
right?
Kind of hard. That's so bad for him.
So let's feel a little bit of pity for the man. But you know, hey, this is a new day in D.C. And I'm not only like celebrating one win. There's a lot of things we got. Are you ready for me to tell the world why they should be optimistic this morning?
One other thing I want to talk about, some positivity, and I'll get those 2018 stats.
It's hard to contain this excitement.
The Redskins have a number one receiver in Terry McLaurin.
Yes.
I mean, he is everything we thought Josh Dotson would be.
Yes.
Except Josh couldn't get on the field. And then when he did, it kind of went missing. McLaurin and even Quinn. I mean, these guys can play, man. I mean, they're receivers you can build. You got a bona fide number one and number two who are fast. They can get downfield. They've got hands. And McLaurin, there seems to be no stage too big for him. I mean, he's ready for the big stage.
Well, you know, he played at Ohio State, right? Which, you know, this is the NFL crowds are probably the smallest crowds this guy's played.
Right. Yeah. Played, he's not used of, to, right? to the fans at the
FedEx Field. In fairness to Dotson, though, I just felt that they used him wrong. He's not that type of receiver, right? But, you know, he's not the one that can make the – Quinn runs precision routes. I mean, not Quinn.
McLaurin.
McLaurin runs precision routes. That's the thing about it. And it's hard. It's hard to – they're more geometric than anything else. It's like they took a protractor and ran the routes. He runs the routes like they're drawn on the board, right? And not all receivers can do that. Mm-hmm. It puzzles me that these so-called NFL experts didn't see this when he was playing at Ohio State, maybe because they didn't have him running these routes. Everybody can't do that. I just say that.
Right.
But, but he's here. It's going to open up the offense when they have a guy that can go deep. Now, he surprised the Eagles the first week, and nobody knew he can go that fast and go that deep. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles made adjustments in the second half. As teams see that they can't just let this guy stay out there on one-on-one, it's going to have to, you know, bring back some safety help, which is going to open up the run game. It's going to open up the underneath passing game. It's a beautiful place to be right now.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Now, you had something you wanted to share as why people should be optimistic.
Yeah, I'm having a rough time, man, just containing my excitement. You know, with all the trials, the tribulations, the turmoil and everything.
So many.
Like, you know, the jokes. There's still people on Twitter saying how bad we are. Fire the coach, fire the team, fire the stadium and all that, right? This team is 2 games out of first place in their division.
Here we go.
Two games. Now, it might be a stretch.
Here we go.
But right now, at 1-5, is that our record? What is our record, boy?
Yeah, 1-5.
1-5. You know, I'm so optimistic. I just see that we're on a winning streak, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was a time not too long ago, I believe the season was 2012.
Mm-hmm.
What a year that was. But, you know, the record, this team started out. This team, the Washington, Burger
King. That was Robert Griffin Jr.
That was
Alfred Morris.
That's right.
Who took the league by storm.
That's right. That was the first and second rookie of the year. Also, it had a coach who, you know, it's funny how things, you know, they had a coach named Shanahan, which we'll be seeing another Shanahan coming up. Mm-hmm. But this team, when they lost the game and dropped to 3-6, they dropped to 3-6, and the coach said, well, we're just going to have to see who's going to be playing next year. And I'll tell you who they lost to. They lost to the Carolina Panthers before a bye week. And the coach said, we're going to have to see who wants to play next year. We got to get ready for next year. This is pretty much over. And the quarterback, rookie quarterback, you know, people call them arrogant or whatever, said, you know, I'm not giving up on this season, right? We got a lot of football left to play. I'm not giving up. This team, who started out at 3-6,
that's it. Yeah.
Won their division.
Yeah.
Won this division. Keep hope alive. It's possible.
When the coach gave up and the quarterback, the players did not give up.
Now we're at a place now where we have some veterans who know this might be their last hurrah. We have some rookies who are like, they're too dumb to know any better. That's what you got to love about this. So fans, if you're smart enough to listen to this show, which you have a certain level of intelligence to appreciate this show, right?
By the way, if you're listening right now, that means you're smart enough to listen to the show.
You're right. Smarter than most people. But we're only 2 games out.
That's
total
a good
reasonable
point.
Optimism.
That's
we've already
a good
played
point.
The Patriots. What else is there to fear? We have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. Yeah, like, yes, 3 division games you lost, so you can't get any worse in the division.
That's right. That's right. And you've seen them. You got film on them. You got a new coach. This is a new day in D.C.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because as bad as the team is playing, we've seen – you know, things that have been more weird than a 1-5 team ended up winning the division. Because think about it. So Dallas is 3-3. They may end up firing their coach at some point. Philadelphia, for whatever reason, can't seem to figure it out. They're 3-3. Giants 2-3 or 2-4. I can't remember. I think they had a bye week. But the Cowboys and the Eagles play each other this Sunday night.
Yes.
One of them has to lose. The Redskins beat the 49ers at home. And then, again, you're, what, 1 game back out of second place.
That's right.
And I've always been the one to try to deter delusional fans from thinking things better than they are.
Right.
So with that in mind, let me say this. They beat the Dolphins by 1 point.
Doesn't
you know,
matter.
If Fitzpatrick plays in the third quarter, it's possible that Miami blows out the Redskins. But that didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
And so, I don't know. Maybe you've got good reason to feel the optimism.
Until they prove me otherwise, I got total. Plus, there's something in the air. I don't know if you all have noticed. There's another team around here. A couple of other teams around here that have been like doing pretty good as of late, right?
And we'll talk a little bit about the Nationals, maybe in the third segment.
And the Mystics, right?
And the Mystics. We've got a champion. Yeah, we've got a champion here in D.C. We've got another team going to the World Series.
Yeah,
a year after the Caps, or 2 years after the Caps go to the Stanley Cup Finals?
So, there's plenty of reason for optimism. But so let me ask you, what do you think of the head coach in his debut? His debut in Washington. He's been a head coach before.
Okay, a couple things. Number one, Callahan, I feel, was probably one of the more underrated reasons for Dallas's success in Dak Prescott's and Zeke's rookie year. The way that he was able to get that offensive line working together and communicating and get the offense working together, no one really talks about. So I thought that when he left the Cowboys to come to the Redskins, that was a big deal. Mm. If for nothing, for no other reason that it would hurt the Cowboys. but I think
he's
his
I think his
commitment to the run, and not just the run, because you know his commitment to Adrian Peterson.
Yes,
spoke volumes for just one simple thing. I mean, we can go down the line to put more sub factors in, but it spoke to one simple thing. He's a serious football person.
Right.
Because you can't be a serious football person and you can't be a serious coach if you have Adrian Peterson on your team. And let's just say for whatever reason, special teams reasons, you decide to bench him on game one of the season. Like, you're not a serious football person.
Who would do that?
Who in the world in their right minds would do that? And so the fact that he says, listen, we're going to run the ball, and our Hall of Fame MVP of this offense last year, and by the way, a guy who still has more in the tank, whether he's a north or south runner or not, who cares? He's the most productive, outside of maybe Terry McLaurin now, the most productive offensive player we have. And by the way, the offensive line has its issues. A good way to do that is to run the ball. The good way to fix that is to run the ball more. We're going to run the ball with him. They could have lost that game. I would have felt better about Callahan. Than Gruden. Yeah. I would have felt better about him.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Gruden could have won that game, and I'd feel better about a Callahan loss against the Dolphins than I would about a Gruden win.
Which brings up another issue. Something that didn't change was the defensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And you saw after Fitzmagic came into the game, you saw some of the same issues with this defense that we've been lamenting for the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. They are too predictable.
Before we jump on the defense, can we just agree that it's time to quit on Josh Rosen, right? Like, Josh Rosen should have stayed in college another 2 years.
Number one,
he looks like, you know, a guy who's working, you know, my son's birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese. He's physically, he's just not there right now, right?
Right.
I think it's just, you know, and he doesn't seem to have it as a quarterback. And so let's just quit on Josh Rosen.
Let's just stop it with him.
Poor
guy. You wonder what some of these guys would be like if they got to play behind an established offensive line. And, you know, unfortunately, most of these guys are selected by teams that aren't good.
Well, you know, and you have a point there, because I feel like Josh Rosen would be Jared Goff if Rosen was drafted by the Rams and Goff was drafted by the Dolphins. Oh, well, by the Cardinals and then traded to the Dolphins.
Right.
That they're the same guy. It's just that Goff is in a better situation.
It's all about the situation and the coach. You saw what happened when Jeff Fisher had Jared Goff. It was somewhat similar. to Gruden and Haskins, right? You know, sometimes it just doesn't click. I mean, it's a personality thing. I guess that's what bothered me about the past regime so much. It was a personality thing. It wasn't X's and O's. It was like, I don't like you as an individual. That's what it seemed like to me. You know, you just aren't what I think you should be or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You're just not an acceptance of the person for what they are, right? You know, but who knows? Rosen might bounce around the league and end up, you know, he might be like Case Keenum was 2 years ago. Right.
Who knows?
You'd be the hero, you know. And, you know, Miami, who knows what they're doing down there? Because at first it seemed like I saw something in the Dolphins where they were showing a little aggressive play and like, there's got to be something in the individual that says, I'm not going to be like an 0-16 player, right?
So the organization is clear that it's looking forward to the future, right? Like, it is everything that they're doing has nothing to do with this season, but it has to do to put the Dolphins in a position to be competitive in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
But at the same time, every player and every coach on that team, they're trying to win today.
Right.
And so I think, and as dysfunctional and weird as this may sound, I think the Dolphins are actually doing a great job of being open, honest, and transparent as an organization that they're rebuilding and that they're trying to plan for next year and the next 2 to 3 years. Yet, we expect our players and our team and the coaches to try to win now. Like, do your best to win today.
Absolutely.
But all the front office moves we're making has everything to do with trying to win next year and set us up for the future.
And before we go to break, because we've just been going
yeah,
on.
We've like been, right, yeah, we've got to go on a break. Before, yeah.
And the fans have a lot to do with it, too, because this whole thing is cyclical, right? Remember a few years back when the Lions were the laughingstock of the league, mm-hmm. right? You know, mm-hmm. and their fans never gave up on them, right?
You know, they're 2-2-1 this year so far. 2-2-1. What in the world? Anyway, go ahead.
What is happening
kind
in football,
is
right? You know, but yeah, the fans never gave up on them. Remember the Saints used to be the Aints, and people used to
right.
show up with paper
with bags,
over
there.
Fans never gave up on them. So Burgundy and Gold fans, you're only two games out of first place, right? Don't give up. Uh-huh. Don't read anything you see on social media unless it's Claude J Radio or it's there,
right.
Kevin, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't read that. Don't believe the hype. We're two games out of first place.
There you go.
We'll talk about the defense when we come back.
It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. Coming up, we'll talk about the defense. We also have a Bradley Beal situation going on here in D.C. We're going to do some Nats talk later on in the show as well.
Wait. We're not going to do fake news or not?
Oh, but that's coming up next.
Oh, shoot. I was going to leave if we weren't going to do that.
Fake news or not on the Federal Football Report. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got the defense to talk about. But first, America, it's the segment you know. It's the segment you love. It's a segment we cannot do like one show without, because if we do, we get tons of complaints. And so we promise to keep it going.
Yeah,
time for fake news or not.
It's time for fake news. Or not.
Where this game goes is I give three statements to Kevin. He lets me know whether they're fake news or not and why. And so statement number one, Kevin, Bill Callahan will be the coach of the Washington Redskins next season. Fake news or not?
That's news. That's news okay. right there. That's okay. going to happen. You know, after our playoff run and going to the NFC Championship game. Right?
Championship game.
Hey, okay. You got to believe big. Got to believe big, right? You know, after that, no, I think that I see a lot of things in Callahan I like on and off the field.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's winning off the field. I think that his demeanor with the media is something that's been missing in this town for a while now. I think that he has a calm, I mean, because the media could ask a lot of, they're not like us. They can
right.
ask a lot of stupid questions. And questions you know that a guy can't answer, right? And in this day and age, it really bothers me that so much reporting, it's not really reporting, it's more rumor passing. And but I think Callahan has a way of saying that, hey, look, I just started this. I don't know what's going on. Like the Haskins situation, mm-hmm. for instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is a rookie who hasn't had any reps. No,
right.
he's not starting.
Yeah,
he's third string right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But now, Case had developed some type of mysterious injury this past week. I don't know. He looked like he was fine when he walked off the field.
Right.
But all of a sudden, Haskins right. has taken all the first team reps in the first mm-hmm. day of practice. So I like what he's doing. I like his love of the game. Like you said, he's a football guy. And I think he'll do wonders for this team if they stick with it.
Right,
if they
yeah.
stick with
well,
it.
The thing about Callahan, and I'm with you, I think that that's news, is there's something about when you're rebuilding that having someone who's been there before
yeah.
kind of plays to your advantage. You know,
yeah.
You don't want to rebuild with a rookie quarterback with a 30-something-year-old coach who's this is his first gig, and you know he's got some flary stuff that he does and off the coordinator, but he hasn't managed the whole team. This team's, you know, you saw through the first five games of the season, so many holding penalties, offsides. They just seem disorganized.
Time out. Mm-hmm. You mentioned something. Holding penalties. You know how many holding penalties they had against Miami?
How many?
None.
See, and so there's something about there's something about the fact, okay, we need a guy who knows how to organize a team. And how to get everybody, just from a fundamental standpoint, ready to play. And I think that that's valuable for the Redskins this year and next year. Now, is he a long-term Super Bowl solution? I don't know. But he's a right-to-ship selection. I think about Dallas when they turned around a little bit because Bill Parcells coached.
Yeah,
he didn't get to a Super Bowl. But he did away with Quincy Carter as quarterback. You know what I mean? Like stupid stuff like that. Like why in the world is Quincy Carter playing quarterback for your team? He made the organization itself a serious organization.
Right,
he's
right.
the one who ushered in Drew Bledsoe at quarterback until Tony Romo took over. Like he made solid football decisions for the team. They started to build the offensive line, and that's what I see with Callahan. I see a guy who's going to help from a fundamental standpoint turn the football team back into a football team.
That's right. That's
and so
right.
I think that that's news as well. Statement number two, Dwayne Haskins needs to get used to the feeling of the bench because he's going to be sitting there all year. Fake news or not?
That's fake news right there. Okay. That's fake news. Except, here's the thing. One way or another, this team is going to win.
It's
going to involve a decision. Mm-hmm. It's going to involve a decision on Case Keenum's part that says, if I want to keep playing, I'm going to have to play better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to play better. It's going to take a decision on Dwayne's part that says, I'm going to have to beat somebody out to get this job.
Right.
They can't just hand this job to me. That's not what's happening. And I think that's what everybody expected, people to just hand him this job. Mm-hmm. And he might not be good enough yet.
Right. You know? Well, you make a good point, Kevin. And here's why I say that that's why this is fake news. I agree with you. It's fake news. But I think it's fake news because, again, with Callahan being a football person, I feel like he knows that the Redskins need to figure out this year whether Dwayne Haskins is the guy or not. Like, do you feel like his ceiling is Super Bowl caliber quarterback? And if you don't feel like it is, we need to know this year because there's a quarterback rich draft coming up. And also, you know, you could find something in Case where you're like, he could play here for another 2 years while we get Haskins ready to play. You know, I mean, so I think, you've got to get him in some real game situations to know what the kid has. And from what I've seen so far, I think Case is better than Dwayne now, but I don't think he's that much better than Dwayne now.
Well, is he better because of skill or better because of experience?
I think he's better because of experience.
Yeah, absolutely, mm-hmm. Right.
And the one way you get experience is by how? Doing it. It's so funny. When I was a young kid out of high school, And I was applying for jobs, and they're saying, well, how do you have experience? They're like, you know, my experience is waking up in the morning making cereal, like, because I'm a kid. But if you hire me, I'll have experience.
That's right.
You know?
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, but that's how you get experience, by doing it.
Yeah, it's the same way. You know what? That hasn't changed. That part of the business has not changed, mm-hmm. Right? You know, they say, well, yeah, I want a national talk show. What experience do you have? I listen to the national talk show, right? You know, how do you expect one to get experience, right? You know, mm-hmm. You know, this paying, you got to pay your dues. That's the way
right.
It is, right?
At
you
some
know,
point.
You might be the most talented guy, you know, there, but that will show if you have an opportunity, right? You know, we're not looking, you know, like James Brown said, I don't want anybody to give me nothing. Open the door. Yeah. I'll get it myself. Right.
Right.
You know, but I'm saying that that's fake news. He's not going to be on the bench because, I think that there's just too much at stake here. And I think that winning cures all that.
Mm-hmm.
If this team wins,
no one, in case he's a quarterback, no one's going to ask about Haskins.
Right. Not a word. And if something happens and Haskins comes in and wins,
mm-hmm.
That's it. Everybody gets what they want. So,
questions are answered. You know. Fake news or not, question number three, or statement number three, the playoffs are still in play. Fake news or not?
Well, you know that.
Yeah, I was going to say that. You took all the thunder in the earlier
that's
segment.
News. That's news. That should be the headline. That should be the headline, right? People
okay.
still talking about getting the tour and all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, we're two games out. Yeah, you can give up now and put in your second string and see if they can play or not, or you can see what you got. You can play with what you got. You got to believe you can win. Otherwise, why you got? Well, I guess some guys are out there for just a paycheck.
Right.
But there's something about winning, man. I mean, once you've done it, once you've done it, I've heard guys say, like, during the Gibbs regime, that the Gibbs would make losing seem so bad. Like, everybody wanted to win. But he made losing seem like that's the worst thing that could happen to you. Somebody could break into your house, burn it down, steal your dog and all that. It wouldn't be as bad as losing again.
Right.
So
right.
That's why they got to enjoy winning, but they got to absolutely hate losing.
Got to hate losing. It's
hate
interesting,
it.
Though, because I think that this is fake news as well, but for different reasons. It's fake news simply because mathematically they're not out.
That's right.
And so until someone's mathematically out, I don't think you're out.
You know, we're math majors around here.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
I did very well in math. It's funny because I was talking to a math tutor the other day for some odd reason, and he was saying, and how he was helping a student with invisible numbers. And I was like, why in the world would we try to trick people with
invisible numbers? What is that?
Explain I'm not really good with the visible numbers, yeah, most of the invisible numbers.
Yeah, the ones I can see give me a problem.
Right. Right. So I don't even know what that's all about.
Yeah.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen, for another edition of Fake News. And now, before we get to this defense, did you see the story about Myles Garrett from the Cleveland Browns saying that a fan flagged him down to take a picture with him?
Right.
So he takes a picture with him, and after the picture, the fan like kind of punches him in the face.
I just glanced at, was it a Cleveland fan who did it?
I don't know, but he said it wasn't really a hard one. It was like, you know, he just kind of, you know, pillow tapped him in the face. But still, if Myles Garrett was to then deck this fan, this person, he'd be in jail. You know what I mean? But this guy could just jump out of his car and do that. He said he was surprised, and he called the police. He said he wasn't injured. He was just surprised. Like, why in the world would this guy do this?
Did they arrest the guy, or did it say?
The spokesman said the team was aware of the incidents. The Browns played the Patriots on the 27th. Yeah, just he reported to the police. I guess the guy did it and jumped off. He went to Twitter. Here's Myles Garrett's tweet. He says, a quote-unquote fan hopped out of his car to take a picture with me, and then he punched me in my face. Huh. If he put his legs into it, he might have actually made me flinch.
Well, yeah.
He just told police.
That's kind of strange. It could be one of them, like, taps, like, yeah, way to go, guy, one of those things. Or,
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, but even so, I wouldn't do that.
Such an odd situation. Federal Football Report, all things burgundy and gold. Do you want to talk a little bit about the defense, Kevin?
Yeah. I was on such a high here.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the defense showed a lot early, right? We saw a safety blitz from Landon Collins. We saw some stunts from the offensive line. And it was very exciting, right? It seemed that you know, they were playing like a defense should. Granted, it was against the Dolphins, but but the thing that bothers me,
five sacks in the game, was it five or six?
Yeah. And the thing that bothers me though is when they put Fitzpatrick in, a veteran quarterback.
Because Josh Rosen can't play quarterback in the NFL. He's not. He can't.
No, he's been too beat up at this point, right? Mm-hmm. He reminds me of a lot of Patrick Ramsey back in the day.
Now,
right?
By the way, Patrick Ramsey, I felt, could play.
Yeah.
Patrick Ramsey had an arm.
Yeah,
he was good.
Play.
He was just beat up a lot.
Right. He had
trigger
a
happy.
And he had a coach who didn't believe in the offensive line, protection, and all that. He said, listen, 25 guys out in the pattern and just pitch and catch, you know.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But when the veteran quarterback came in, it was too easy to identify what what they needed to do, what the defense was doing.
Yeah.
And it just picked them apart, right? There was a couple of great catches.
I think
the
Dolphins scored two touchdowns in like 9 minutes or 11 minutes, something like that, when they couldn't score any all day.
Not all day. And he just marched them down the field. So there's going to have to be some changes made. There's going to have to be a change in philosophy. Why? I mean, it would be beautiful if you can just get pressure on the quarterback all game long with just rushing three guys, right? But you can't. You know, you have to make them think that the house is coming every single time, even though you don't send them. You just make them think you are, right? And this is a new NFL. Same people who say it's the new NFL and it's just passing and you don't have to worry about the run, those are the same people who complain when the teams run against them, right? You know,
right.
There's things you can do. You got to get rid of this 3-4. I mean, this 3-4 defense. That's got to go. You can't. People say, it's a hybrid. They don't play it all the time. And I don't care.
Who cares? Right.
When they play it at all, they play it too much. Right. You got to get rid of that. You know, it maximizes your talent, right? You know, Ryan Kerrigan is a liability in pass coverage.
Right. He should never be in pass coverage.
Marquez Sweat is a liability in pass coverage.
Marquez Sweat should never be checking a running back.
Never, ever, right? You know, so once you see that, you say, you know, you're an offensive coordinator, you say, this is the matchup we want. If you see it at the back of a 91 at any time, throw the ball in that direction.
Here's what's interesting. There was, you know, Jalen Ramsey is now with the Rams, but I mean, if he was on the market. Let's see if the, you know, Jaguars would need a left tackle, maybe.
There were things
you could have done. What are you going to do with Trent? Like, why is this still an issue?
Let's move forward, trade him,
get something for him, and keep moving.
Anything. Now, the rumor mills were active this week, and it reports that they were trading Trent to the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they were all rumors. There was no speculation on this, which I kind of embarrassed.
Let me guess, they're going to send him to the Browns, and they're going to, you know, Odell Beckham Jr.
All four of those guys.
They're going to get those three guys out of number one draft.
Yeah. But, you know, I just told guys, I said, my dog says it's not going to happen. You know, because it's all rumor. Don't report
this
stuff. I don't know what good does it do you. Don't report this stuff.
It doesn't.
And then
no good.
The word comes out this morning that Bruce Allen refused because they were only offering the 6th-round pick.
It's ridiculous.
Well, forget the rumor mills. Listen to us. We'll tell you the truth, right? You know, but yeah, you got a whole, you know, right now they're at an impasse. You can just give up and say, we'll take, you know,
little or nothing for him. At some point, you're going to have to do that.
Yeah,
right?
No, right, you know? Right, right. At some point, you're going to do something.
Yeah, especially before the draft next year, so you can draft another left tackle, right?
Exactly.
But he's going to have to be a beast. He's going to have to be. We should do that right now. Mm-hmm. We should start our left tackle search, right? We should scout the teams. You know, we got a vast scouting department, you know, for unlimited budget. Lisa Wolf gave us the budget to just, like, scout every college football game, right?
You're 100% right, though.
That's what we should be doing, right? Yeah.
And so I'm sitting here looking at stuff on the Redskins website to get ready for the next segment, and all of a sudden the audio starts playing. We didn't want that.
But they're talking about left tackles, I hope, right?
Yeah, exactly. Coming up on the next segment on the Federal Football Report, we're going to preview this game against the unbeaten San Francisco 49ers. It's the Federal Football Report, Federal News Network. It's the final segment of the Federal Football Report, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. Lots going on in D.C. sports. And so before we preview the Redskins game against the 49ers, another home game, let's talk a little bit about some stuff happening in D.C.
What's happening, man?
Mystics win the WNBA
championship. We're number one, baby. We're number one.
Did you watch at all?
Not a lot.
I watched the final 4 minutes of game five.
Let me tell you, I have a little history with the Mystics. You know, we were here in town. When the Mystics, played their inaugural season, and you know, I have three daughters, and they're all sports fans. My oldest one played in high school.
Do they follow the WNBA?
Oh, without a doubt, that's part of my story. When they were young, a couple of things. I don't know if anybody remembers the initial team, but the quote superstar unquote was a player named Nikki McCray.
I do remember Nikki McCray.
Uh-huh. She never quite lived up to the billing, but she was the attraction, the star.
Sure.
And through our good friend Tony Kornheiser, who knows everybody and everything, Mattel came out that year with the WNBA Barbie dolls.
I don't remember that.
Yes, they did.
Oh, wow.
And through our good friend, he was able to get me three of these Nikki McCray Barbie dolls for my daughter, which two of them still have.
That's a big
prominently displayed. The other one would have had it, but our dog got a hold of it and chewed up the box, right? You know? So yeah. So we're a big fan. As a matter of fact, another experience we had with the Mystics, I called the Mystics one day and I said, I got three daughters that are big fans. I said, you have anything like, any type of, fan appreciation thing that I can do, like come before practice? They said, as a matter of fact, what we do at the games, we have this thing called the, I forget exactly what they did, like the courtside participation thing.
Okay.
The girls come out with the team, right?
No.
So when the team, like, introduce the team and the lights go down, the girls, like, at this time, they were like, maybe the oldest one maybe have been like 13. So they were like 13, 12, and like
so this
eight.
Is a big deal to them.
This was a huge deal.
Yeah.
The lights go down, and when the Mystics jog on court to come out for the warm-ups, the girls were in line with them, right?
No.
You know? And they stood on the side, like when they were doing the warm-ups and they introduced the players, they stood there and got high fives from the players
nice.
And stuff.
Yeah.
It was a very, very, very cool experience.
I bet. One that I'm sure that they still remember.
They still remember, still talk about it. Remember the first thing they said when they saw me out there, they said, "Dad, them women are bigger than you are."
That's funny.
So, you know, we got nothing but love for the Mystics and what they've done. They've done a lot for the city, right? They're big in the fact that they play over in Congress Heights, right?
Yeah, right there in Southeast and, in that new arena. And by the way, good job by the ownership there by realizing, let's just take this from Capital One.
Yeah.
Because there's no point in putting them in there and it just seemingly like they just can't feel the place. Because they couldn't feel the place.
Right.
And let's build a smaller arena. And it's their home. It's where they play ball. And so that was a good deal by them. And by the way, the Mystics swept last year out of the finals.
That's right.
Come
that's
back
right.
this year and they win it. Elena Deladon, what, three herniated discs in her back?
Yeah.
And still plays.
She's an amazing story. You know, she was on, it was a Real Sports. They did a feature on her because she has a disabled sister.
Right.
That she cares for, right? You know, so she's just an amazing story.
Decided to come to Washington, in a day where, athletes go to different cities for whatever reason.
Right.
She decides to come to Washington because she wants to be closer to her sister.
That's right.
That's what
right.
brought her here.
That's right.
And she
that's
brings
right.
a championship.
And we appreciate her being here, like, because, like I said, there's something in the air, right? You know, from the from the and we're going to like segue into the other, you know, you guys might have heard there's another couple of sports things happening in the city, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're all involved. They support each other tremendously, right?
Right.
It's like last the Stanley Cup run, you looked at one point and Max Scherzer and Ryan Zimmerman are in the stands dressed up like hockey players.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
You know, you got to love
that. And I love that.
You
got to
love
it.
That.
And speaking of Scherzer and Zimmerman, the Nationals. In the World Series
for the first time
in franchise history.
The World Series.
This is a big deal. There will be at least two, possibly three World Series games played right here in Washington, D.C. And you being a card-carrying member of the Washington, D.C. sports press might be able to get into a game,
right? Unfortunately, I just got a notification from the league. They realized, I was in attendance at the wild card game as well as the championship the division series against the Dodgers, right?
Uh-huh.
But they informed me, they said, yeah, we appreciate all you do. We love the Federal Football Report. Unfortunately, it's going to be big time now. We got people from all over the world coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't want to embarrass them by having them there with you.
Well,
right?
you know,
and I said,
good for them, because why would they put all the other people through that kind of situation?
There's a lot of pressure for them.
Absolutely.
But I say, hey, I'm still with you. We're going to talk about you and show you the love that you deserve. And you know what's beautiful about this whole experience for me? Number one, they were losing early.
Uh-huh.
That reminds me of another team in town. And people wrote them off. Which reminds me of another team in town.
Uh-huh.
And they turned it around, which reminds me and they made a change. Well, their changes were on the field. But to me, here's the biggest thing that happened to this team this year that made all this possible, and that's that baby shark.
Yeah, you know what? No, you're 100% right. It loosened things up. Guys started to play again, and one of the telling moments was when you got to see Strasburg. A little looser than normal.
Yeah,
he's jumping around, hugging and playing around. Yeah, and that never happened.
But you know what? To me, this gave the team an identity. It gave the fans something to rally behind. Before, mm-hmm. like you go to a Nationals game, where if they were playing the Padres, you see 10% of the people with the Padres jerseys on because most people in D.C. aren't from D.C., right?
Mm-hmm.
And it gave them a chance to see their hometown team. And it was no identity. We talk about the burgundy and gold identity. It was no identity for this fan base. But this thing, it's something that originated here, right? Not the song, but the fact that they did, that the fans rallied behind it, and it's something that everybody did. That's something that's unique to D.C. And the media's picked up on it, and you see every time the players do the shark clap or the little two-finger shark clap and mm-hmm. all that, it's like this identity now, and it's making the team popular.
There were people in Game 4 who showed up in shark outfits.
They did it for the Wild Card. In shark outfits, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's so cool. You know how all that started, right?
How did it
started?
Because he wanted the walk-up music,
right?
And he
right.
decided to go with Baby Shark.
Well, because he asked his daughter, like his daughter was like, I guess 10, and said, what can I use?" And she said, "Baby Shark." And he said, "Really?" And he said, "Okay, well, my daughter said it," and it just took off. It's a beautiful thing, and something else is beautiful. Like I'm a native Washingtonian. Mm-hmm. My father took me to the Senators games.
Oh,
right,
get out of here.
Yeah, I went to RFK, which was D.C. Stadium at the time,
mm-hmm.
and watched the Senators play. It was a very hurtful moment when this team was ripped from our bosom, right?
Right.
You know? So baseball means a lot to me in D.C., but to see guys like Ryan Zimmerman, who has been here his whole career.
And not just a member of the team, but like critical to the team getting to the World Series.
Absolutely, absolutely. Not just hanging on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Participating. And I know I'm rambling, man, but I'm really excited about this. And the influx of diversity on this team.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, and I'm trying hard not to mention the guy's name,
mm-hmm.
but his name rhymes with nice plopper or something like that. But people had to like bow at his altar, right? You know, mm-hmm. when media came, whenever they came, it always had to be about Harper, how this is going to affect Harper, the contract.
And by the way,
and all
he
that.
Hadn't won anything.
Nothing.
Ain't won jack.
Nothing. Won the MVP when the team had a losing record.
Right,
I say, well, how valuable could he be? Again, we're not talking about anybody in particular. Somebody whose name rhymes with Rice Popper.
Right.
But this year you got some young, eager talent, man.
I love Juan Soto. I love watching the passion he plays with. I love Victor Robles. I mean, you know, Anthony Rendon. It's ridiculous. But here's the thing, and I know we don't want to mention his name, but He was the main story all offseason. The entire offseason, number one. Number two, he was the story for the regular season.
Right.
All regular season. He's not going to get out of this postseason without being the main story. Not the main story, but maybe of the postseason. How they did it without you.
Right.
I mean, all offseason it was, this team's going to be nothing without, you know, Rice Blopper. they won't be anything without him. How are they going to get the offense? This is typical DC sports. This is the Nats. And then 19-31. Oh, you think they could use Bryce? You think they could use him? And then next thing, they turn it around. And no, we're not going to let that story, you know, move from the headlines. Look at what they're doing even without him. Sometimes it's not about the superstar name or the superstar talent. What makes the team better?
That's right. That's right.
And there's no doubt the team is better without
him. Much better. Because they're a team now. It's a team. Nobody, even Rendon, who is like a candidate for league MVP this year, he's not standing out. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't.
Right.
Now, I've seen the guy talk, right? The guy's a very pleasant guy, right? You know, he's just a nice guy. And it's not, he doesn't. I'll tell this one story. I think I've told this story before about. I'm standing there at at batting practice, and I'm standing at the entrance of the dugout. You know, they have little specials where they allow like fans to come down, like to see batting practice, maybe get autographs and stuff. So a guy's there with a little kid. I'm assuming it's his son. The kid's like about 4 years old, and is walking off the field from batting practice, headed for the dugout. The kid is holding a Sharpie and a hat. And the father sort of nudges him, and he walks over to and holds it up for an autograph. Now, I'm standing there, and he's walking past me, walks past the kid like the kid doesn't exist.
Wow. Yeah,
so
you don't do that.
From that point, I had no more use for this guy.
Yeah, no, but you bring up a great point. So my son, Manny, he's six. He's into golf. I've been into golf ever since he was 2 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
At 3 years old, I took him to a tournament. He loved Ricky Fowler. And Ricky, in the middle of a tournament, he just holed out on a Congressional Country Club for the Quicken Loans National. He holes out on eight. He's walking to nine. My three-year-old is sitting there, and he says, Ricky Fowler, hey, Ricky Fowler. Ricky turns to him and says, hey, kid, what's going on? Hey, buddy, what's up? And keeps walking. Then he stops and reaches in his pocket and gives him the ball that he was playing with.
That
round. Yeah, and they don't normally, I mean, in round, they don't do that kind of thing. They may high-five you. During, you know, while they're at the driving range or a short game area, they may throw, you know, a little practice ball to you. He gave him the ball he was playing with right to him.
That's awesome.
Ever since then, my wife, for some odd reason, still doesn't really care whether Ricky Fowler wins or not. She actually sometimes roots against him.
Ricky Ricardo, doesn't matter,
We root for him, and I got buddies who are golfers who root for Ricky for that one thing, because they treat the fans right, especially the kids, man.
I'm going on the limb. He is officially now the golfer of the Federal Football Report.
He's the
official golfer. Right?
I mean, and it's so funny, because I had a chance to talk to Brent Snedeker, who's a golfer, and I said, I told him about that story, and I said, it means so much to kids when you guys stop and you talk to them and you sign it. And he's like, without kids and you guys coming to the stuff, like, we don't have a tour. Without the fans, we don't have anything. And so that's part of signing up to say, okay, I'm going to be a professional athlete. And especially if you're Rice Blopper, and you're like, I want to be the face of not just an organization but of the game, then you have been put on your back the responsibility and the obligation to stop and to talk to at least kids. Because if you can't win an adult over, you can win them over, by talking to them. You can win them over by talking to kids.
Right.
A kid right, you don't do that.
And this can't be all about the dollar signs. Now, I don't fault these guys for making as much as possible, because the guys who are paying them are making even more than that.
Exactly.
But like you said, without the fans, and especially the kids, that's when my love of baseball started, when I was a kid. We used to,
And by the way, isn't that when everybody's love of whatever sport they have starts when they're a kid? I think about football. I remember growing up and living in my grandmother's house, being in the basement, my brother and I, and we didn't even have a football, but we'd roll a sock up, or we'd roll like gloves up, and we'd use that as our football, and the couch was the defender, and I'm going back to pass, I throw it to him over the couch, you gotta dive over the defender. Like, it starts as a kid.
Right.
And you grab them then when they're young, and then they become obnoxious adults who are obsessed with the same sport.
So it all goes back to the baby shark, man. So, by the time that this, who knows? I mean, who knows who the opponent's going to be, Houston or the Yankees? But, we're very proud of these
Do you
guys.
Have a preference?
No. Okay. I'd love to, it's like for the sake of history, I'd love to just like spank the Yankees
Me
one
too.
Time.
Man, right, I'd love for the Washington Nationals to come into this series and beat the Yankees down.
I have a couple of my old Army buddies that are living in Houston, and I'd love to
beat them down.
Have a little back and forth, because we all play ball together and all that. So I'd love to have a good back and forth between them. So I'm just excited for this team. They've already won in my eyes.
Yeah.
But we're going to win again in my eyes.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Like, do the Nationals have to win the World Series in order to consider this a successful season? I don't think they have to.
They don't have to, but that's why they should.
Right.
We don't even want to debate that. Right.
We're going to be going into late October, early November with baseball.
That's right, in the city.
I'm trying my best to pull from my retirement and other things to get a World Series ticket. I just want to go to a baseball game with a hat on and a sweatshirt. I want to go with my red sweatshirt and my Nats pull down cap and hat and throw the hood up and watch baseball in the fall.
And you know, the beautiful thing about Nats Park is if you get a nosebleed ticket, you don't have to stay up there. You can go down to the picnic table
area. Like, and by the way, if you've never been to Nats Stadium, there's not a bad seat in the house.
There's not
a bad seat in that place.
No, it's going to be beautiful.
I've been on the lower tier, and I've been in the nosebleeds, and they're all great seats. They're all great seats.
So hats off to these boys. And like I said, they've already won, man. Anytime you can get Strasburg in the dugout dancing,
right? You know. They
do. You know, interestingly, Juan Soto was just 20 years old when they won the pennant. So when they were spraying champagne
around. Had to keep his mouth closed. He couldn't consume any champagne there because
he's
too young.
There's so many stories behind this team, man.
Absolutely.
This is what D.C. sports is. And you hear people have the nerve to say D.C. isn't a sports town.
D.C. is like any other city. They're better when their team is winning.
That's right.
I mean, you go to Chicago when the White Sox and Cubs are down and the Bears have been down for a while and even the Bulls. Yeah, you watch the sports, but you don't care. Because you know what? It's a big city, and there's other things happening. There's life happening. There's other things going on. Yeah. But the minute the sports teams win, let me tell you, and proof positive of that are the Mystics, but also the Capitals.
Yes.
You know what I mean? D.C., you want to rank sports, you know, hockey is at the bottom of the list. But the city came alive around the Caps, and they did the same thing for the Mystics. And they're going to do the same thing for the Nationals. They're doing the same thing for the Nationals.
Last question on this, because we're running out of time. Who throws out the first pitch? I mean, Ovi's already thrown out one. Elena and the Mystics have already thrown out one. Who throws out the first pitch at the first World Series game?
Robert Griffin? I don't know. Who do you think? Maybe a Joe Gibbs?
I'm thinking Joe, maybe Doug Williams.
Yeah. Did I tell you I ran into Doug Williams at Redskins Park?
Oh, really?
So I'm sitting there at Redskins Park in Ashburn. I've got some radio work to do out there, a couple of meetings that we had. And I'm just sitting there waiting for the guys to get there in the lobby. I see three Super Bowl trophies and a nice helmet and just, you know, kind of taking it all in, you know, where I am. And I look down the hall, and here comes Doug Williams. And I'm just like, hey, Mr. Williams, how you doing? He said, hey, well, I'm good, man. What's your name? I'm Claude. And he's like, oh, it's good to meet you. Out here hanging. I said, no, I got a meeting for the radio. I said, okay, cool. You work with the radio team? Yeah. And then I had my Golf DMV shirt on. He said, Golf DMV, what's that? So we're talking about Golf DMV and just letting him know, you know, he's like my one of my earliest football memories was the Super Bowl against the Broncos. You know, my earliest football memory is the Broncos coming back against the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
The drive with John Elway. That's my earliest football memory. It might be a little bit before that. It might be the Cincinnati Bengals losing to the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
Right.
The Boomer Esiason, Joe Montana thing. Then I said, yeah, that comeback, man, that second quarter, like earliest football memories. Like, that was kind of cool to sit there and talk to.
All right.
But it's gotta be one of those guys,
right?
Let me
share this one now. I had to go out there for some business as well, right? You know, Larry Michaels is a good friend, one of the best guys I've ever met.
You know Larry Michaels?
He's the best, man.
Yeah.
So I knew I had to go out there, and I have the Sports Illustrated from the Broncos Redskins Super Bowl with Doug Williams on the front. All it says is, wow.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, and I've had that, and I've kept it in a Ziploc bag in my basement since then, right? And I'm going out here this morning, and I said, you know, I should take this out there. Maybe I can get Larry to introduce me to Doug Williams. Nah, that wouldn't be professional. That wouldn't be too fan-like. Uh-huh. And so I'm sitting in the lobby. The first person I see in the lobby when I
Doug Williams,
right? I'm like, oh, my God. So I didn't tell him about that. I told Larry. Larry cracked up. But, yeah.
And he would have loved the sign.
Yeah.
He would have loved it. It was funny because it made my day to do that. But it looked like it made his day.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
To talk to me and for me to want to sit there and talk to him about, you know, him being one of my earliest memories of football. It looked like it made his day to do that.
Well, yeah, who do we call? Maybe we should call the Nationals right now and say it has to be Doug. It has to be Doug.
Right, right. Absolutely.
There's a game coming up this weekend.
So, there is a football game happening this weekend. Washington Redskins, 49ers. Kevin, what do the Redskins have to do to stop this? Because as good as the 49ers have been, I haven't watched a lot of tape on the team. And so I'm watching it. Garoppolo, sure. The defense seems to be pretty good. What do the Redskins need to do to beat these 49ers?
They have to control the ball. The 49ers play out west as high powered. They have a high powered offense. Kyle Shanahan, for whatever happened while he was here, was a pretty good offensive coordinator, right? Mm-hmm. He orchestrated the two prong attack, pretty much invented this read option thing that made these guys superstars, right? So he's a student of the game. He learned under the best at that time. Mm-hmm. So we have to establish the run. We have to control the ball.
Mm-hmm.
We have to shorten the game. We have to give Garoppolo fewer opportunities,
right?
And we're going to have to get creative on defense because he'll tear us apart if we don't.
Creative on defense, and I think creative on offense. Got to find a way to score the football. You got to get the ball over the goal line.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to have to do it. They're going to have to get at least 21, 24 points.
Get the ball in the hands of
the defense. However, I think this is a winnable game.
Yes.
I think the Redskins can win this game 24 to 17, 24 to 20. That's my official prediction.
All right. Well, I'll go with it. I'll go with that. I think there's going to be more of an offensive explosion, though. I'm giving them 35-24.
Okay. There we go. There you have it, folks. Federal Football Report, Federal News Network, 1500 AM, federalnewsnetwork.com. Maybe the Skins will get two and five and just be one game back or two games back, because the Cowboys and Eagles play, so no matter what, they'll be two games back if they win. But that's better than being six games back.
Keep up.
There you go. We'll catch up, guys, next week.